Good afternoon. I'm very grateful to be here today to share with you some of the work that I've had the opportunity to do at the University of Wisconsin concerning dietary diversity, food security, and vitamin A consumption in one region of Ethiopia, which is Tigray. I have no relationships to disclose. Before I begin, we just wanted to acknowledge our funders. We are supported by the International Potato Center, Irish Aid, and then also the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Additionally, this project couldn't have happened without all of the many different members of the research team, the policymakers, the communities, and the implementing partners acknowledged on that slide. So a little bit of background. I don't think this will be new to any of you, but as we know, dietary diversity is an important component to a healthy diet. Additionally, household dietary diversity has been associated with per capita income and energy availability in families. And therefore, there's somewhat of a, from what I've seen, a mixed, we think that there's a relationship between dietary diversity and food security, but we're not, the literature isn't quite conclusive if this is across all contexts or just in certain scenarios. Additionally, we know that vitamin A deficiency is a serious public health problem in Ethiopia. In 2010, there was a national health survey done, and this indicated that 38% of children had deficient serum retinol levels. And vitamin A deficiency is a concern, especially in children under 5 and mothers who are breastfeeding and lactating. It causes increased susceptibility to infection. It can cause night blindness. It also just leads to increases in disease and death from severe infection. So specifically, this analysis is part of a much bigger project that was looking at sort of introducing orange flesh sweet potato into the Ethiopian context to try to help with this vitamin A problem. But that's not really the point of this analysis. So in this study, we were looking at what is dietary diversity look like in rural Tigray. We also wanted to see if there was an association between household food security and dietary diversity, and then also just to sort of understand what is vitamin A consumption look like in this population. And for a little bit of geographical context, Ethiopia is located in East Africa, north of Kenya, and this survey was specifically conducted in the Tigray region, which, as you can see, is the northernmost region of Tigray, or of Ethiopia. And for this study, this was a cross-sectional household survey. It was conducted in 4 administrative zones of Tigray across 10 woredas. And the data were collected in February and March of 2014, and it was conducted in the local language. And in total, there were 300 households surveyed. For the measures we were looking at were household dietary diversity. We asked people, in the past 24 hours, has anyone in your household eaten these foods? And there was a long list, along with food. Flip book of just the different pictures of the different foods, and then the enumerators marked yes or no, and then we ended up classifying these into 12 pretty standard food groups. For food insecurity, we used a slightly modified household food insecurity access scale, and traditionally this categorizes families into food insecure, mildly food insecure, moderately food insecure, or severely food insecure. And then to figure out what the consumption of vitamin A-rich foods, we asked people in the past 24 hours, have you eaten any of a list of foods? And they said yes or no. So for our analysis, once we had the dietary diversity grouped into 12 food groups, we sort of looked at our distribution and divided it into tertiles, so as close as we could. And so in our sample, low dietary diversity was 5 food groups or less. Medium dietary diversity ended up being 6 food groups, and high dietary diversity ended up being 7 food groups or more. And then we ran an ordinal logistic regression model to look at how the 3 tiers of dietary diversity and food security are related, while controlling for some of the factors that we anticipated being potential confounders. So this is what our demographic data look like. The The wealth units that we ended up controlling for, we pulled from the literature, have been shown previously to be good markers of wealth, because wealth is not in, you can't really look at income in the same way that you can here. We also saw in our sample that 58% of households could read or write. The average family size was 6, and we were surprised to see that 60% of our families ended up were food secure. And I'll talk more about some of the reasons behind that. But so because of that, we didn't have a very good distribution among the other four categories. So we ended up dividing food security into a dichotomous variable, either food secure or food insecure. And then as you can see, those were the three, how our dietary diversity tertiles ended up breaking down. With so you can see there too, we didn't have a very large distribution of what dietary diversity looked like across our households. So when we were thinking about, so what do these different food groups look like, the different families who are in the different tertiles? And so we asked the question of how many of these food groups were consumed by greater than one-third of the families in each tertile, and this is what it ended up looking like. The low and medium dietary diversity categories were very similar. People were eating cereals, they were eating fats, they're eating miscellaneous, which is beverages. They're eating pulses, sugars, and vegetables. And then in the high dietary diversity category, you saw that people started to add eggs and fruit to their diet. And this is what our ordinal logistic regression ended up looking like. And I think we thought these results were pretty interesting. We did end up finding that dietary diversity was people, as you increase levels of dietary diversity, you did have increased odds of being food secure. And that wasn't too surprising to us, but we were also very interested in noting that, I have a typo on the slide, it's not agricultural zone, it's administrative zone. So the place of where people are located impacts whether or not they're food secure or not, which is not actually that surprising as we thought about what Tigray looks like as a region. The main cities are in southern Tigray, and therefore we think that access to a market is likely a key component of whether or not families can sell their food and or get different types of food. Many different income markers were also associated with increasing levels of dietary diversity. Also, having a head of household who could read and write was also associated with increasing levels of dietary diversity. And then when we specifically looked at vitamin A consumption, we saw that surprisingly, again, 86% of our households reported consuming at least one vitamin A-rich food in the past 24 hours. And we were really surprised by this. And however, when we looked a little bit deeper into the data, we saw that of those households, 77% reported only eating Burberry, which is not likely an adequate source of vitamin A for these families. So in conclusion, we thought that we saw that on average households consumed about 6 different food groups at the time of these surveys. We also saw that in this context, dietary diversity was indeed associated with food security. And although we saw high levels of vitamin A consumption in this sample, we don't think it's an adequate marker for vitamin A consumption. So some limitations to acknowledge. This was a cross-sectional survey, so there's no way to make any statements about causality. Additionally, I don't know, Ethiopia is a very remote rural population, and so we had, in our sampling, we tried our best to reach some of the most at-risk households, but we know that the most at-risk, the most remote, we weren't able to reach. I was just thinking the other day that I got to travel out with some of our enumerators sometimes to do the surveys, and I would get to go as far as the car could go, and then they would be gone for like 4 hours to do one household survey because they'd have to walk an hour and a half to go to the household, do an hour and a half of the survey, and then walk an hour and a half back. So those were the households we deemed reachable. So you imagine what the unreachable households looked like. Additionally, one of the big things why we think we found some of the results we did is because the survey was conducted post-harvest. It was within 3 months of the harvest, and that's likely why we saw such high levels of food security. So in the future, we think it's really critical to measure what household consumption looks like at different points of the year, not just at our annual survey mark. We're also just trying to understand a little bit more what the relationship is between dietary diversity and food security. As again was mentioned in the first presentation, we know that there are differences between what people in a household eat, and so what are intra-household consumption patterns looking like? There's a lot of just because someone in the household is eating this doesn't mean everyone's eating it, and quantity of food is potentially an issue. Additionally, we think it would be really interesting to compare. This is part of a survey that is doing a survey in North Tigray and then also in southern Ethiopia in the SNNPR. So we're really excited to sort of look at what the context look like, what this data look like in the two different regions, but then also in East Africa and then in other parts of the world as well. So these are some of my citations, and I think we're taking questions at the end. So thank you.